He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
In a little bit, I'll read our gospel passage, which I'll take our sermon from today. But to begin with, to add a little more to the bits and pieces I've sprinkled throughout, I'd like to just take a moment to talk about what Advent means for a second. So Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means to come. We use this season as a time of preparation for the coming of Christ. And as I've thought about this season more and more lately, and as I've prepared for it, there's been a song that I've heard multiple times on the radio. It seems like every time I've gone somewhere, this song has come on the radio. And it annoys me for two reasons. One, I think that it's jumped the gun. And two, it's just an annoying song. Do you guys know the song, "We Need a Little Christmas," right this very minute?
Oh, yeah.
It just, it just annoys me. But over the last week or so, as I've been preparing for the Advent season and praying, one of the things that's kept coming to my mind every time it's come on is, no, we don't need a little Christmas this very minute. We need a little Advent right this very minute. We need a little bit of Advent. Our culture and our world needs a little bit of Advent. I mean, heck, they had Christmas trees up in Target October 30th. Think about that. Halloween isn't even till October 31st. We couldn't even get to Halloween before the world was like, bam, Christmas time. So that by the time Christmas is here, everybody's like, oh, thank God it's over. And then you have people like me saying, no, it's only just begun. You know, people are like, yeah, the 12 days of Christmas, December 13th through 25th. And I'm like, no, ABC family, or I guess technically now they're Freeform. No, Freeform. The 12 days of Christmas starts on Christmas. It doesn't end on Christmas. And so I kept thinking this idea of we need a little bit of Advent right this very minute, which is kind of ironic because Advent means to wait. And here I am saying, come on, we need to hurry up and wait. But I think about that because I've recently have made a switch. I used to watch Netflix pretty frequently, but I've kind of switched to watching more Hulu because of some of the different shows on it. And with Hulu, they show commercials. And it's just one after another of stuff that it wants me to buy. Whether it's toys from Toys R Us, or this from Walmart, or this from here, or this from that. None of the commercials are like, hey, just take a moment and relax. And even if they are, it's, hey, take a moment and relax at the Comfort Inn. You know? If everything is trying to get me to buy something, which would be great if I wanted to buy a lot of stuff. But it's just been this idea of this constant exposure of you need more, 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 more. You need to get it as fast as you can. Things are running out. Get the best deals. Do this. And I think, no, we need a little bit of Advent. We need a little bit of time to wait during the chaos. We need a little bit of time that prepares us for the coming of Christ. Because that's a big deal. I think we've often have at times lost how big of a deal this is. But God became flesh. God became one of us so that we could become like God and join in his glorious kingdom. That's a big deal. And we need to take time to prepare for it. Advent, although over the last few centuries it's been more of a four-week season, in years past it was a season of 7 weeks. And in fact, a lot of churches are moving back to a 7-week Advent. And the reason it was 7 weeks is because it was paired with Lent. Christmas and Easter went together, and Advent and Lent went together. The reason for that was Advent, like Lent, was a time of preparation. It was a time of fasting, which in our world, it's Advent is the exact opposite now. It's Christmas cookie galore. But it was the idea of preparing ourselves for one of the holiest days of the year. The day that Christ became like us. That God showed just how much he cared about us. That he would step into our world and become like us. And we anticipate that. We expect that again. As Christians, we kind of do this whole time traveling act where we know that Christ has already come, but during this season, we put ourselves back in that idea of waiting for him because we know he's going to come again. And so we wait. And sometimes waiting, I think most of the time probably, waiting is good for us. We often realize things while we're waiting. I was at the store the other day, and I was waiting in line, and I realized I forgot what I went there to get. Picked up plenty of other things, but I realized the batteries I meant to pick up, I didn't get, so I had to go back and get them. That waiting helped me realize things, and sometimes it's important things. Other times, the waiting just prepares us, and it opens our mind. I don't know how many of you saw the status I posted last night. I was sitting there, and as I was preparing for today, and I was just kind of waiting around, waiting for some stuff on my computer to come up, and just kind of spinning around in my chair, just kind of waiting. I don't know if I was waiting for thoughts to come to me or what exactly, but I was just taking time, being silent. And often during that time, you know, I'll feel like God will say something to me. But not all the time. Sometimes I just realize I'm hungry. Like last night, when I was waiting, I realized I was hungry because this thought came across my mind. To my stomach, all potatoes are mashed. That was the thought I had. Nothing spectacular, but it made me realize, oh, I'm kind of hungry. I should probably eat. And so it's just waiting helps us to realize things. Sometimes it's large. Sometimes it's important. And other times it's just simple things like, oh, I should probably go eat because I'm hungry. Or I should probably do something because I am starting to think weird thoughts. And so this Advent, we celebrate three different comings. The first coming, we celebrate that Christ comes to us as a human. God took on flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary, and that Christ became like us so that we could enter his glorious kingdom. The second coming we celebrate is the fact that Christ came into our very lives. As we've entered the church, as we were baptized, as we become part of this glorious kingdom, we realize that Christ has entered into our lives and that Christ lives in and through us. And then we also wait for the second coming. That is when Christ will return and the world will be put to right and all will see the glory of God and will see his merciful and righteous judgment. And so that's what we celebrate this season. We celebrate and we prepare for these different comings of Christ. And part of how we do that is we read Scripture and we look at God's Word and we see what he has to say to us. And so our sermon passage today comes from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words will not pass. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening, or at midnight, or in the morning, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he suddenly comes. And what I say to you all, keep awake. This is the gospel of our Lord. So when I was younger, this will reveal a little bit about the way I used to pray. So when I was younger, every night before I'd fall asleep, I would pray. I would lay in bed and I would, you know, thank God for the day and for what he's done and, you know, make petitions and ask different things and I would pray. But I always ended my prayers the same way as a kid. And Lord, I know Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Amen. And I would pray that because I was trying to outsmart Jesus. I was trying to outsmart God. I knew that the verse had said that only God the Father knew when Jesus would come back. So in my mind as a kid, if I knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, he couldn't come back tomorrow. Because I knew that he would come back. And that would invalidate Scripture. Granted, I was in elementary school, but that's how I thought. I thought, oh, I can get Jesus to not come back by praying that he is coming back tomorrow. And as I got older, I'd look back on that prayer that I would pray as a kid, and I would ask myself, why did I always pray that? And I realized it's because I was afraid of Christ coming back. As a little kid, where I grew up, there was a lot of scare tactics about the end of the world. The end of the world was terrifying. Christ coming back was a terrifying thing. You know, but as we went through Revelation this past season of Ordinary, we see that that's not the case. It's not this terrifying thing, but rather it's a good thing. And that when we talk about the coming of Christ again, it shouldn't be something that is scary or as a scare tactic. But rather, it's something to rejoice about. It's something to be excited about. You know, when we talk about the first coming of Christ, when we talk about Christmas, we're super excited about it. We're so glad that Jesus came. One of the songs we sung today, O Come Emmanuel, was likely written in the 13th century, and it was originally in Latin. And I'll read the words to how it originally went to show how excited we are for the first coming of Christ. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give the law in cloud and majesty and all. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. It repeats the refrain. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Again, the refrain. O come thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Again, the refrain. O come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in our ways to go. The refrain. O come desire of nations bind, in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of peace. And it ends with the refrain again. And so you see, it's exciting to sing about the first coming of Christ. We get excited about it. But then I've often heard when people talk about the second coming, it's almost this fear and trembling. But I don't think that's how we should talk about it. Because it's the restoration of all things and making all things right and good again. And so, and I think even this scripture can make it sound a little scary. But I don't think it has to be. I think we should hear it more like the song we'll sing every week. And like the title of the Advent book we'll use every week. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient Mary, raise us to thy glorious throne. Maybe it's just me, but that sounds good. That's exciting. When we talk about the fact that Christ is coming again to rule the world in completeness, that is the hope of the world. That is the hope of earth. That should be the desire of all nations. And then there's one line, and I'll end with this part. There's one line in today's scripture passage that just has always jumped out at me. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. That's good news. That even though everything out there, although all of that will pass away, the words of Christ will remain. It is finished. One of the things that Christ said from the cross, that will remain. That three-word phrase, which meant that sin and death had been defeated and that it reigned no more, but now that it was the reign of Christ, that will remain. Let all who are thirsty come. That remains. The fact that all are welcome to come and receive a part of the victory of Christ Jesus, that's good news that remains. And then probably one of my favorite things that Christ has said, which he said multiple times after his resurrection, pretty much every time he showed up to somebody, he said this phrase, "Peace be with you." Even though heaven and earth will pass, the peace of Christ that he's offered us, that will remain. That's a good thing. And so this unknown hour that we wait for, it's not a wait in fear. It's not a wait that we do that causes us to tremble, but rather it's an anticipation. It's a wait that we do joyously. We wait in excitement as we know that one day everything will be the way it was meant to be again. Would you join me in prayer this morning? God, would you prepare our hearts for the coming of your Son? During these next 4 weeks, would you help us to be on the watch, to be on the lookout, to see the ways in which Christ is appearing in our world around us, to see the ways in which your Son is working in our community and in our lives. God, during this season of waiting, would you remind us that we are waiting for the return of your Son, and that that's not a scary thing, but that that's an exciting thing for the world to be put to right, for the world to be the way that you intended it to be, for Christ to be king over all, the sovereign and just and merciful and gracious ruler. We're excited about that. And God, as we continue to worship, would you continue to prepare our hearts for the ways that you are moving in us and through us? And we ask these things in your name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.